China's bike-sharing pioneer Ofo, which claims 200 million users, now appears on the skids, with nearly 11 million customers demanding the return of their deposits. So bright orange, yellow, and blue shared bikes used to flood the sidewalks of major Chinese cities for the past 2 years. But as Ofo sees major cash crunch, making it even harder to pedal to a foreseeable future, what does this mean for the bike sharing industry in China? Before we go into that, let's look at what exactly is happening now.
Well, I'm almost sure if Santa Claus is taking shared bikes this Christmas, he won't be taking Ofo. As of December 19th, I guess, the company has received more than 10 million online applications for deposit refunds. All right, thousands of angry users have even lined up in clusters at the company's Beijing headquarters during the past few days, I guess, eager to know whether they will get their deposit backs and kind of win. All right, so to rent shared bikes here in China, I guess early on users had to pay around 99 yuan. That's roughly $14 for a deposit fee. But they've upped that recently. Maybe this is signs that they were having kind of a crisis. They upped it by 100 yuan. So that's more than double the deposit that was initially asked. So that was then the deposit, or I think now the deposit. And so based on that, the total scale of refunds and the amount that is owed to these people that are asking for their money back, get this, 1 billion yuan. That's a big refund. Okay, so Ofo has given a response. I guess Ofo claimed for users who register for deposit refunds at the firm's office, the collected offline information will be merged into the online sequence in chronological order. All right, it said in a recent statement posted on its official Sina Weibo account that due to the large user base, there may be a significant surge in applications. Please have patience and wait it out. We promise to handle it appropriately.
Well, that's a very diplomatic way to say,
we don't have your money right now.
Or how would you look at it, Lai Mei?
Well, I think Ofo really is in a lot of trouble. Because if you really want to do that math, if Ofo was somehow able to repay or refund the users, let's say 10,000 users every day, it's going to take 3 years for them to finish processing all the more than 10 million online applications.
Yeah, that's a lot of refunds, and it's all happening at the same time. And that's really a pretty bad signal, I suppose, when your users are saying pretty much that they're abandoning the service. And how is all of this happening all of a sudden?
Well, I mean, the legal side of this, I think we can take a look at is, according to Chen Yingzhang, Deputy Secretary General of the China Consumer Protection Law Society, all right, referring to the regulations of non-motor vehicles in Beijing, bike-sharing companies registered in the city must put consumer deposits into a designated bank account. Once users apply for the refund, the money shall be returned in time. Considering the recent deposit refunding crisis, he would suggest the Traffic Administration Department to investigate Ofo's management situation and make moves accordingly to protect consumers' legal rights. So I think on some level, what this guy's saying is this money should have been put into an account for the refunds. And then when people asked for it, it was just transfer time, whatever that would take, from the bank account to the user. And I think he's hinting at some transparency needs to be involved. The fact that it's taking so long might mean that Ofo has used these people's money and doesn't have it right now. And he wants to do, you know, a public transportation investigation to see if that money was ever, if they have the money, the amount to give back to these people, or if they were caught with their hands kind of in their pockets, basically saying, we don't have the money because we used it. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing I want to also mention is, you know, the fact that it started as 99 yuan as a deposit, but then went up almost double, 199 yuan. I think that also paints a picture that they were having tough times, that they wanted more money, more investment into their company. But the thing is, investment's great and all, and I'm sure people, if Ofo had their way, would get their money back. But I think maybe their investment, bad choices were made in their business circle, and this investment has not paid out. And so in mm-hmm. which case, people don't have their money.
Well, I think consumers, both consumers and also investors, have lost faith in the company, or at least in the business model that's owned by Ofo. When we're talking, obviously today we're talking about refunds for users who are subscribers to that service, but we don't forget that we should also be paying attention to the amount of money Ofo is owing to suppliers, upstream suppliers, and we are talking about billions too. And so that just sort of highlights the problem with a bike sharing service or the model. At the moment, neither Mobike nor Ofo has achieved profit with the current business model. I mean, certainly many years ago when they started experimenting with the service, it was launched in school campuses, and based on their math, it was okay to run that business. Right. It was okay to make a profit once, let's say, a student or three or four students will use that service, and for a bike that's basically 300 yuan, and it will only take a few months for the company to break even and make profit. But once you want to introduce that business model to a wider scale, on a wider scale to the society, mm-hmm. we have other elements involved. For instance, there are companies being competing fiercely against each other. Many years ago, we were talking about BlueGoGo, Mobike, Ofo, and a bunch of other competitors in the market. And sometimes they don't fight fair. Sometimes they deploy people to destroy bikes right. of other competitors. It's fighting nasty.
That's fine and all. I just don't think that the consumer should get hurt in this fight. You borrow money from the consumer. You say it is a deposit, and you'll get it back if you play by our rules and don't damage our bikes. I imagine 10 million people haven't done that kind of thing, and so they're expecting their money back. But this company isn't keeping their promise, which is breaking, it's bad PR, it's breaking a lot of promises. And so in the long run, Ofo has kind of hurt itself again. I think this could be the nail in the coffin that buries Ofo, because people aren't going to trust you after this. Nobody's going to put a deposit if they don't feel that you're going to get it back to them in time. And this is going through the news like crazy. I mean, and the fact is, Lemming, you know, they burn through money. And that's what people are saying is the root cause. Get this. Earlier this year, an industry insider estimated that rival Mobike spent $50 million a month, while Ofo burnt through roughly $25 million. This is a lot of money that these people are going through. Ofo, which has raised more than $2.2 billion since it was founded in 2014, exemplified the Chinese startup model of growing quickly by raising money and burning through cash, right? Mm-hmm. So they kind of started the model of just throwing cash and burning through it. But the thing is, I don't think that they thought things would change. And I think there were slight things that I even noticed of this change. To tell you the truth, I remember as this kind of shared bike thing was starting, I tried to register for Ofo first. Uh-huh. You know, it seemed like that bike was more prevalent.
The yellow one.
The yellow one, that's right. But it was really hard to register. But they took my money first. You know, they still owe me a refund, but I could never register because foreigners' passports, they had a really bad interface to register. And unfortunately, my money's still tied up over there. Oh. I mean, it's not a big deal. And I just kind of let it go, but it was aggravating at the time. And then I used Mobike. And Mobike was so simple. Their interface was really significantly better.
Mm-hmm.
So if even though I think Mobike's burning through $50 million a month, which is $25 million more than Ofo, I think they might be able to do that because their interface is better. And I've seen recently that there are a lot more Mobikes now in Beijing than Ofos. It's a bit rare to see those yellow bikes.
So that's also, I think, in a way, showing how business is doing for these bike sharing platforms. And it's interesting that you guys mention these two companies again and again, because it seems like since 2014, about that time, mm-hmm. when shared bikes became a major scene on the streets in Chinese cities, mm-hmm. and then it's almost like a ferocious battle. Yeah. And now it's these two, supposedly two survivors, the Mobike and Ofo. But now it doesn't look so good for Ofo and the owner of Ofo.
He's in trouble.
He is. Dai Wei is in trouble right now.
So a court in Beijing has placed multiple consumption restrictions on Ofo's founder, Dai Wei. According to zxgk.court.gov, a search website operated by China's court system, Dai and Ofo's operator, Dongxia Datong, have received at least 20 restrictions, mm-hmm. right? Dai is one who is limited in terms of high-level consumption. Now, get this. All right, so Dai is not allowed to take airplanes or stay in any star-rated hotels because of these restrictions. Basically, he's not allowed to enjoy his wealth. Even his kids, his children are also banned from attending private schools with high tuition fees. Dai Wei is forbidden to rent high-end office spaces and travel for holidays. So I think these court restrictions are saying, hey, maybe you have some money, but the fact of the matter is you kind of have been owing money to different people. Mm-hmm. You've been doing X, Y, and Z, and we don't like your business model. So we're not going to allow you to enjoy your wealth until you figure out how to run your company better. That's the way I see it.
Yes, I think with both Ryan's own story and also the story about Dai Wei being restricted by court shows there got to be some kind of problem in the management system.
Yeah.
In the sense that I also seen reports about how the high senior management in the company with Ofo, they've all bought very expensive cars, Jeep Wrangler. I think they cost 420,000 yuan every car. And also there are reports about how original management was able to sort of scam the company for tens of thousands of yuan every month.
Mm-hmm.
And also the Ofo company spent 20 million yuan on naming a satellite. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Extravagant?
We are not saying that everyone in the company was in it to enrich their own pockets, but there's got to be something wrong with the way the company is being managed.
That's really interesting, because that's also pointing at how when a startup is flush with cash because of all the venture capital that's coming into the company, and how to use that money. I suppose it's understandable to reward, a portion of that money to executives, to hardworking employees.
Yeah.
But where do you draw the line? When does it become corruption within a company, and when is it misused funds, and when does it mean that you're not painting a good picture for your company to expand in the future? And here,
mm-hmm.
a question I need to ask you guys about is the development model that we sort of touched upon earlier on about these tech startups. They are on the life support of rounds and rounds of venture capital pouring in. And look at Mobike and Ofo. Both, they used to be the two big players in the field. And now Ofo seems to be in the dominant position, but it's still perpetuating this kind of growth model, and it is not something that the Chinese tech starters invented. We copied it from the US. And what do you think this kind of development model means? It seems like we're being chased after a ghost, as if. How do you get off this kind of life support, or do companies even want to?
Listen, I think it's Ofo just did their business wrong. This was a new frontier for Chinese companies. I think globally, too, it was just a new frontier to be like, let's share bikes. And so you have the physical aspect of bikes, the bikes being present around town. But there's also the interface of getting the bikes. There is the digital mobile way you get bikes. And to tell you the truth, I mean, Global Times said it. When Ofo's rival Mobike shifted its focus toward new measures to manage dockless bikes, like detailed GPS data analysis, Ofo was putting as many bikes in cities as it could. It was just trying to flush the cities. And in fact, I would say the operation was kind of, it was just not sustainable. I mean, Ofo invested heavily in the rapid market expansion and left less room for refined management and maintenance, making mm-hmm. it difficult to drive a sustainable future. So basically, I think as Mobike expanded, they expanded slowly and carefully, saying, all right, we'll play the fields in certain cities. Let's develop our app. Let's make sure people enjoy using our app. Let's add points. Let's show them the data of how far they traveled. I think they invested a lot in that, or at least that's what Global Times is saying.
Uh-huh.
Whereas Ofo was like, let's just get as many bikes available in as many cities as we can. And then we'll just have the turf. In this turf war of shared bikes, our bikes will be all over the place. But I think the physical bikes are one thing. But, like I said, that I couldn't register
the
with
the user experience.
Exactly.
Mm, interesting. Well, Lai Ming, I'd like to hear what you think about this. Because is it just a blatant turf war and Ofo failed in that? Or, well, let's look at some of the past experiences. I'm thinking about Uber, Didi, Kuaidi. Back in the day, there were a few car hailing apps. And then there was bloodshed, metaphorically speaking, of fighting for market share. And now we see Uber being absorbed by Didi in China. And then Didi becomes the biggest, most reliable for people, I suppose, car hailing app. And I suppose I'm smelling monopoly here. But what about the bikes? Are we seeing something similar here?
I'm not sure that is the problem of the business model. I mean, the rapid market expansion and also this fight for turf. Probably, I think it worked back in 2017. I think at the end of 2017, we did a show on how many of the companies were going bankrupt, many of the other companies other than Ofo and Mobike. And one of the successful strategies that Ofo did that we highlighted was that it took the right time in expanding the market, in the sense that pretty soon, when cities realized they had too much bicycles deployed in the streets, they just started limiting the number of bicycles. And that at that point, Ofo, having spent so much time, also so much resources on making sure the bikes are everywhere in every city, it was sort of a powerful presence in cities. People, let's face it, when people want to use shared bikes, they don't care what company they are subscribed to. They only care whether there is a bike near them. So I think back then in 2017 it was the right policy. But the other thing is, you sort of have to rely on venture capital to stay afloat, and that could be a blessing and also a I would say a poison too, in the sense that sometimes I think Pony Ma, the head of Tencent, commented on the difficulties that Ofo is facing, and he said veto rights was the key, in the sense that once venture capitalists came into the company, they wanted to take control, they wanted to make business decisions. And one of the reasons why Ofo was in trouble was it was not able to get funding, and precisely because he managed to get funding, to get the promise of funding from certain companies, but the venture capitals that were already behind them denied getting the funding. And that's why, and also precisely the reason why the venture capitalists denied the funding was because they wanted a ceasefire with Mobike. They wanted two companies to merge. So how much venture capitalists should have a say in the management of a company, that was the discussion I wanted to talk about.
I mean, I think I agree and disagree. I think what people say is protecting their face, but actually what really happened could be something different. I think here, the bike sharing bubble has burst. It was cool at first, and everybody just wanted, like you said, a sharing bike right there. But as the market flooded with more bikes, it was no longer about having the bike there. Suddenly, there was a variety of bikes, so I had the choice. And what I did is I chose quality over quantity.
True.
I didn't choose Ofo just because Ofo was there. I had other bikes that looked cooler, that were more like the tires on a Mobike don't need to be filled up with air. Now, there's really cool aspects about those bikes that make you want to ride them. The app is great. You get points for each time you ride. They were quick to jump on a sustainable model, which is quality. I think Mobike played it safe. They said, all right, let them get out there and expand as quick as possible. This is a smart move by them. I think in that expansion, they realized you're being too eager. Mm-hmm. And eventually you're going to have to pay for all that infrastructure that you've jumped on. But the thing is, Mobike said, instead of investing in that, we'll invest in our product to make sure that the sustainable is people will want to use mine when I'm there, even though you have more bikes on the street.
OFO did have the cheapest bikes on offer compared to other competitors. That's true. And also back in 2017, we thought that was the right strategy to make because it allowed the company to deploy more bikes.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, yes, it's true. Over time, people are going to choose bikes that make them comfortable when they're riding.
That's a good point. But I suppose when you look at a business this big, there's a lot of factors in play because this reminds me of Blue Go-Go. That used to be apparently the most the bike of the highest quality at the time, but it's phased out.
I was talking more about the investment in the digital.
Okay. And certainly, I think investment, that's such a key player in all of this. And it's a little bit worrying in a way because I feel if the companies are so heavily reliant on the fresh capital that's coming in just to keep the business afloat, and bear in mind, a lot of these tech companies, as big as they appear to be, they're not bringing in a profit yet. So this is one of those models that it's like the game of music chairs. Who's the last?
But we hope that in all of this, the people that want their refunds back get them because that's theirs.
Yes. Well, I hope we can see that happen
me too.
Without waiting for too long. You're listening to Roundtable.